Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 12. Today, I talk with Diana Rothschild, current CEO of Nextspace and founder of NextKids, which is a highly sought-after combination of co-working and childcare under the same roof. Diana has a fairly widely shared story in the co-working world and in the popular press. She's a Berkeley undergrad, Stanford MBA. She was working as a sustainability consultant, trying to juggle life with a newborn, and she thought there must be a better way. She dreamed up NextKids. She founded NextKids in partnership with Nextspace, which is a co-working company with 9 locations in the Bay Area and in Chicago, and she recently became the company's CEO. There is what I would call a desperate cry for the model that Diana is creating. I see it in the many forums that I'm a part of. Freelancers, entrepreneurs, women, men, corporate parents all want better access to daycare and closer to their place of work. Diana and I get right down to unpacking why this model is so difficult, and Diana shares from her perspective the 3 critical things you need to have in place in order to even think about pursuing this model. We also talk about Diana's perspective on the future of NextKids and the co-working / daycare combo model. Enjoy our conversation. Diana, thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited about our conversation. How are things in Potrero Hill today?
Everything's great. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to get to meet you and everyone that's listening to this fabulous podcast.
Well, you are a hot number with the press these days. Everybody's interested in co-working and daycare. So I'm looking forward to diving into this and going through a few questions that I'm sure our audience is curious about today. So I like to do a little icebreaker with our interviewees. Yes. I like to kind of go where the popular press doesn't go. So they don't ask you the tricky questions. So here's my personal question for you to help the audience get to know you personally a little bit better. What are 2 things that a Nextspace member would not guess about you just by chatting you up at the coffee bar at a Nextspace co-working space?
So they would probably not know that we have 3 chickens in our backyard that give us fresh, yummy, organic eggs.
That is a good one. I have not heard that one yet. You're an urban chicken farmer.
I'm an urban chicken farmer. And they may or may not know that I have 2 children under the age, actually, they probably would know that I have 2 children under the age of 4, since that's probably also been in the press. But they might not know that we have contests every night as to which child can build the tallest tower without the other child knocking it over first.
Ooh, that's a good one. Is that like the pre-bedtime activity?
Yes.
Nice.
Exactly. Yes.
Wait, I have to, how many eggs do 3 chickens yield, like in a week?
They each will lay about 5 eggs a week, so about 15 eggs.
Nice. So like a little over a dozen.
It's nice.
Week. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes.
Okay. What do they eat?
So they eat, we feed them organic chicken food, which are these little pellets that are like soy and corn and other things. And then we give them a lot of our kitchen scraps, and I love to bake. So if you'd ask me what 3 things a member might not guess, I really like to make bread. So they usually get a lot of homemade, yummy bread.
You have foodie chickens. Not only are they urban chickens.
Yes, very foodie chickens, yes. And then we also are, we befriended some local grocers in the Mission and the local juice stand at the farmer's market, and they give us a lot of compost every Saturday morning, and we bring that home to feed the chickens as well. So they're pretty well fed, happy chickens, and they get to run around our backyard every 2 weeks or so and clean up whatever is there that they want. So I think they're pretty happy.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Okay. That might be my new favorite answer to that question. Okay, so we're going to dive into our official
business questions here. So the first two questions are just to kind of give us some context for Next Kids. How long has Next Kids been open?
Yep. So Next Kids is part of Next Space. And so, as you know, Next Space has been around since late 2008. Next Kids, our first Next Kids location opened in July of 2013. So we're almost literally 1 month and a week from now, we'll be 2 years old.
Awesome. Yes. And what age range of kids can be members at Next Space Kids?
Yeah, so Next Kids is open to Next Space members only, and we take children from 3 months until 3 years. In future locations, we want to have a baby co-working area where parents with children under the age of 3 months can come and work with their babies on them. But the official Next Kids care program starts at 3 months and goes until 3 years.
Oh, I love that. The pouch co-working.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I can see there are a lot of opportunities for different ways to manage this. And I mean, you're really a pioneer. There are some people trying to figure this out, but you are, I mean, 2 years running is probably a record, because I think a lot of folks try this and it doesn't work, or they're trying pop-up concepts and mm-hmm. trying to prove it out and find investors and make it work. I see a lot of chat rooms and blog posts, and there was a recent Mashable article that came out of a long string of chat in the MizTech forum. And MizTech is a Facebook group. Well, it's not just a Facebook group. It's a networking group for females associated with the tech industry run out of Chicago. And they have a really active Facebook group. And there's this huge string about doing childcare and co-working. And, you know, everybody was kind of like ready to get on the bad bandwagon and figure it out. And we sort of jumped in and said, you know, this model is not that easy. And there are people who have been trying to do this for a long time. What is it that makes the model so hard to achieve?
So it's a few different things. I think it's timing. I think it's who you partner with. I think it's your cost structure. I think it's market awareness. So to get to the people, this is such a new idea and such a new way of thinking about work that it requires a lot. And in addition to right timing and location and everything, I think it's important to have a really strong philosophy around how you want the care to be run, who you want to run it, and what type of amenities you want to provide. And I mean, running a school, the average school takes 3 years to break even.
Wow.
And that's just a school. And this is a school is obviously all that it is. And our program is a school in a lot of ways. It's a full service, full day care program. We hire incredibly qualified teachers that are all focusing their career in early childhood development. And I think that's actually helped us gain a lot of traction and a lot of trust with the families in creating really high quality care. But that also is really expensive to do. So it's a model that's hard because you're trying to pair a daycare setting in a sort of more professional corporate workspace idea and mesh all the health and safety and regulatory requirements for childcare alongside the zoning and community building and incredible productive workspace ideas. And you're sort of smashing those two things together. And then you're putting a philosophy on top of it and then putting community on top of that and then trying to educate and bring a market to be more aware about this. And the niche of people that can really actively use it is not that large today. So I think, I mean, there's a lot of things in what I just said, but there's a lot of components to making it work really well. I think we've stumbled on a few of the really big key ones. And I think that's led to a lot of our success to date. And led to families that are very happy. And now we're starting to see second children, siblings join us and friends of members start to join us, which is very exciting.
So from your perspective, for the folks out there doing the pop-up concept and trying to figure out how to make this work, I mean, what are the few ingredients that you know, before someone goes down the path of trying to do one of these, what are the like three things you would tell them they need to really understand or have lined up before they go after this?
Really great question. So I think these are not in any priority. These are just all three, I think, equally important. I think you need a really strong philosophy or standard of what you're trying to create. So if this is going to be a pop-up concept and we're going to be in different locations throughout the week and we're going to be at different times and you're not quite sure where it's going to be, or you might be sure where it's going to be, but you're not sure which hours it's going to be open, that's a very different type of care, a different type of family that might show up, a family that can be super flexible versus a family that's like, no, I really need 4 days a week of care or 5 days a week of care every day, no matter what. So having a really strong view of what your philosophy and standards are, I think is very important. I think knowing what you're good at and knowing what you're not so good at and bringing people in to support you on what you're not as strong at that they might be strong at, I think is very important. What I've noticed in talking to other people starting these types of businesses, and when I look back on how are we able to do this so far, at least, it's really been the fact that I was able to partner with Nextspace and find a partner in Nextspace who had already been building and fostering and creating co-working communities for almost 4 years by the time that I joined the company. And that was really critical, because if you can build and foster and create communities and you know how to sign leases and you know how to manage operating expenses and you know how to do build outs and you know how to guide and develop a really amazing community and an amazing team that can guide that community, that helped us tremendously on the childcare side. Again, I have a business background. I am not an early childhood development expert in any sense of the word besides being a mother of two adorable daughters. So I had a really incredible advisory board that I formed of early childhood development experts, of security experts, of childcare space designers and architects. I had a woman on my advisory board. Her sole role was to help me figure out security and how are we going to keep the care space very secure so that people that were not using the care space, other members of the co-working space, would not have that access to the space. And how would we work with all the regulations? So I think if you know where you're strong and then you bring in people with their strengths, I think that helps as well. And the third thing that you need is money. I mean, this is not an easy thing to start. And it's not a short road to be, it's a pretty long road to making it a profitable venture. And so having that runway and having those investors that really can support you as you're going through the beginning, early stage hurdles of being a small business, I think is very critical to its success.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing your perspective on that, because I think people think that this idea makes sense and they think, okay, so co-working isn't even starting a co-working space because the industry is so new, is a bit of an undertaking itself. But then I think they think, oh, well, daycare's been around for a long time. You know, how hard, you know, could this be? But combining the two, and I think people underestimate the challenges with daycares, which is probably why there's a shortage of high quality, you know, geographically convenient daycares, especially in urban areas, is because it's not that easy to do really well. Mm-hmm. You know, and the having the investors piece, it's funny because I hear a lot of individuals wanting to go after this, and it's in my personality to sort of be the practical person, but I always bring that one up. I say, you know what, you need deep pockets because there are regulatory issues involved in doing this. And to your point, just like giving the model, you have to be well, and most businesses fail because they're not well capitalized to, you know, give themselves enough time to ramp up and sort of weather the storms of the startup phase. And you're kind of just doubling that issue when you're trying to start two businesses at once. So,
yes.
Yeah. So I totally agree with you're the expert, but I'm on board with that. So I think it's an important consideration. Although I hope that, given, you know, you've proven a model and, you know, I think hope to expand. And I hope that's inspiration for other folks, that there are people who are passionate about this and hopefully investors who will help support making that happen. So it's hard, but it can be done.
It can definitely be done. I'll say three things. It can definitely be done. I think we have learned a lot in this location in 2 years that is already shifting how we would design a future location. And to a point where we would, you know, we would be able to break even earlier. The world needs this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, so your comment earlier about we've been in the press a lot lately. We were actually in Yahoo News, finance news yesterday, but it was interesting because I actually hadn't done an interview with them. So that was kind of interesting, but like, it's on a lot of people's radars, and it's because it's really needed and yep. Companies want it. We have members at our, at Next Space Potrero Hill, we have around 130 members at this location, and 20% bring their children. And so 80% don't bring their mm-hmm. children, but they are really excited to be here because those startups that are here, they can, and small teams that are here, they can recruit and hire people on their teams that want to have their children nearby. And so they've used it as a recruiting tool. Companies, California-based companies that need pumping areas and nursing areas for their employees, we provide that. So that automatically gets them what they need to be operating, legally in California. Yeah. There's a lot of people that want this, even if they don't have children. And half of our families are dads. And that is very, very exciting to see as well. So those are my thoughts. Yes, it can be done. We've figured out ways to, I think, make our model even better in the future, and the world needs it. So I'm excited to share whatever I can with the rest of the world about this.
So I'm sure lots of excitement about this model, but then probably a little bit of skepticism for people who haven't seen it in action. So co-working, I think, still somewhat suffers from the programmer stereotype, where you have a bunch of, you know, dudes writing code all day, which is not what it looks like, which, you know, we know, and anyone sort of involved in the industry knows. So do you sort of fight an assumption about, you know, the vision people have of what it looks like to combine kids and in a work environment? You know, people think they're going to take calls with, you know, crying infants next door. Or what are people's what sort of perceptions do you have to fight with that?
The comments that we've gotten when people take tours, we've given tours and we've had comments where people didn't even realize there were children here.
Yeah.
Even though you've seen the space, Jamie, like they are here. They're not like down five hallways and up a flight of stairs. They're on the ground floor, right alongside the parents through very secure doors and down, you know, they have their own section of our building, but they're right there. We've had questions that parents might ask us, like, "Oh, so what hours of the week do you want me to help teach?" You know, so mm-hmm. some parents that might think of it as more of like a co-op program where they're committing several hours. We do have a parent co-op program where every family contributes half an hour a week if they're a part-time child, or 1 hour per week to support the classroom, and that's really so that they can see how the teachers mm-hmm. are working with the children, and vice versa, versus the parent just taking a break with their child.
Yeah.
But we definitely keep sort of the children and the adults a little bit separate in that sense of when you walk in, we have separate entrance for children versus an entrance for the adults goes down a separate, pretty quiet hallway for the children so they can be children and not disturb a conference call or something happening in the main workspace area. You do hear the children occasionally because their bathroom is on the hallway that goes alongside the co-working space. But usually it's laughter and giggling mm-hmm. and hasn't caused too much of an issue.
Well, I think it's a testament that 80% of your members don't have kids in the space, because so clearly it's a professional work environment, which I think is just a really important perception for people to maintain, because I would guess people kind of wonder, how does that work out? And it's hard to work with a kid at home, but having really high quality care that's adjacent but still separate is amazing.
Yes.
just, I always like to ask sort of a bigger picture question. So you're in a really urban area in Potrero Hill. I mean, even I would say, I mean, that neighborhood has shifted a lot even over the last couple of years, but it's really, you know, just undergoing gentrification. What do you think co-working and childcare as a combination will look like in the future? Will it see more success in urban areas or suburban areas? Any thoughts on that?
So that's a really good question. For Next Space, all of our other Next Space locations outside of this Potrero Hill one are all in the heart of downtowns. And so even coming to Potrero Hill, felt like it was a little bit more suburban to us, even though, yes, it is still urban, but it's 2 miles away from the downtown. So it's in a more neighborhood type area. And it's definitely different. We don't get the foot traffic that we get in our downtown locations just off the street. There's a lot of, you know, people walk in, but they're walking in because they found us online or they found us in another way. I definitely think that this model can be successful in suburban areas, especially if you look at areas of the country where people are choosing to make a life and a living on their own terms, and where they say they have a child and they say, I don't really want the city life anymore. I want my child to grow up in nature. I want my child to grow up with a certain quality public education system. I want to be able to see my children every day, and I don't, you know, want necessarily to be working these certain crazy hours that might be required in a more city type atmosphere. So I actually think, I don't know if there will be more success or less success. I think density plays a key role. If you're in a suburban area, there's obviously less density. And so, but there are also people that are willing to drive further. So I think, I mean, answering this question is a little bit speculation, but I think they can be equally successful, suburban or urban. I don't know if there's one that's more or less than the other. Yes.
I almost wonder if I was going to, totally speculating, because who knows, but people also often talk about the ability of co-working to succeed in suburban areas because you're competing with bigger houses, you know, people have offices in their homes and right longer commute times. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if the combination of the two could breed more success, you know, for even co-working on its own, because it solves, you know, an additional problem. It's kind of worth being out of the house and sort of driving more awareness for the benefits of not being in your home office and being part of a community, but having the benefit of the childcare right there too.
Yes.
So we'll see. We will see the crystal ball. So I mean, if you had to look, let's just say 5 years out, what do you think co-working and childcare will start to look like over the next 5 years?
I'm really excited by what I'm seeing. We get phone calls all the time from people all around the world wanting to do this, from Asia to Saudi Arabia, to Europe, to all around the United States, of people really trying to figure this out. And what I love about what I'm noticing is that people are thinking about that sort of lean startup concept of a minimum viable product. Mm-hmm. And so I think the pop-up co-working ideas are really cool because you can start to find your community, test your audience, see what people really need before you establish a full-on location. And so my hope, and I'm already starting to see this, so I think it's a little bit more than just a hope, is that in 5 years, we have maybe two or three different types of models that work really well based on the geography, based on the brand, you know, that entity is aiming to create. And that we sort of have this really nice hybrid of what's happened in other industries around, like, this is where I go if I want my consistent, you know, for sure coffee every morning. And this is where I go when I want that really special afternoon latte. And this is where I go when I need that crazy over the top drink that, you know, you can only afford the calories for a few times a year. So I think my hope is that we see a few different flavors of this emerge that work with different types of members and different families based on their needs. And that's my hope. And I think we'll be there, just seeing the growth since I had this idea, you know, 2.5 years ago to now seeing where it is today. Mm-hmm. I think it's accelerating and it's very exciting.
Awesome. Well, thank you for, I feel like you really led the charge on this. And there are a lot of people obviously supporting this, but it takes a fearless leader to go try to make it happen.
Thank you. I was a little bit driven by the fact that I had a daughter that I really wanted to work nearby. And then the morning that we got the lease for this building, I found out I was pregnant again. So I was even more motivated. So thank you for honoring and thanking me for what my role was in so far in this movement. But I also had selfish motivations as well.
Well, they say some of the best entrepreneurs are solving their own personal problems. So
yes.
So what's next for Next Kids?
That's a great question. Our very first postcard said, "What's next?" on it. Mm-hmm. And so I love that question. So we are refining the model. Really getting it to be at a place that we're happy with, programmatically, with the team, with just how it works financially. We're also starting to focus a lot more on marketing and what are the right messages to share with families, because it is such a new concept and our quality of care is so high. Like, how do you convey that in different marketing means? What are the right marketing channels to be using? Because there's not sort of a clear mm-hmm. place to do marketing, and like, we're not a normal daycare, we're not a normal co-working space, we're sort of a really awesome hybrid of the two, and we're also going after families that might not even be looking at daycares. They might be looking at nanny shares or nannies or au pairs or different, or not working at all. That's probably our biggest competitor, is the mom or dad that chooses to take 5 to 7 years off. When they actually really want to work, but they haven't found a right solution. So figuring out the marketing, the right ways to let the world know about the solution. And then we want to expand. So we want to have, another location in Northern California, at least one more for sure. We want to expand into Southern California, into Chicago, where we already have a location in Chicago. And then there are a bunch of other cities around the country that I think can definitely merit and use and the solution. And some other wonderful people are already creating those solutions. But right now we want to make sure we're in the markets that we already know really well.
Sounds like a plan.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Well, let's tell everybody, I always mention this and haven't yet on the podcast. So we will have full notes, in the show notes on everythingcoworking.com. So we'll include links to NextSpace, Twitter handle, Facebook link, and info on Diana. So if you want to take a peek at all of the press coverage and understand a little bit more about the model and what Next Kids is up to, then you can do that. Diana, is there anything else? So website is nextspace.us, correct?
Yep. Okay. That's right.
Awesome. Yep. And we'll put all the other links in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you taking time away from your greater mission there and sharing what you're up to and where we see co-working and daycare going.
Thank you. Thanks, Jamie, for putting this together.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.
We'll be right back.